bow our heads and open a prayer. Lord, we are grateful to you. You are so good to us, Lord. Some of us remember the times when we were without you, Lord, and the difference you've made in our lives, Lord. So wonderful, so amazing, and we are so grateful to you, Lord. I pray that you would lead and guide this workshop, that you would speak your words, Lord, through this vessel that needs you to speak. And so, Lord, I just thank you. I pray you would bless these dear people and minister to them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 My name is Barbie Enterline. My husband is Larry, who spoke this morning, the general session. We've been married a little over 42 years. We have four wonderful children and one wonderful daughter-in-law. Out of the seven, including the daughter-in-law of our children, three of our children are involved in children's ministry, along with Larry and I, and then our son and daughter-in-law are involved in worship ministry. So it's a blessing to serve the Lord, and isn't it? It's just wonderful. I've had the opportunity of, and the blessing of, being a Sunday school teacher for over 25 years, and I never imagined it. I was, the first time I taught those kindergartners in Sunday school, I was terrified, and I thought, I will never be able to do this. I will never be able to do this. And there's something about children, if they capture your heart, even the ones that are difficult, capture your heart. It's just a privilege and an honor, and I know that you guys feel the same way. So, starting off, and like I said, the handouts will be coming. They're copying more. I just want to share some things with you that the Lord has taught me through the years. These are things that I have implemented in my own class, and some of them are more recent things that I've learned. Some of them I've done for a longer period of time. But I just kind of put all these ideas together, and hopefully you'll find something, or the Lord will speak to you about something that I'll be sharing that may be helpful to you as you minister to children. But just starting off, I just have just some random things to share, just to give us a way to think about ministry to children. C.H. Spurgeon, the great British preacher, said, "The best preparation for teaching Christ's lambs is love. Love for Jesus and for them." You know, we can have the right message, but if we don't have love, what are we? What does the scripture say that we are? Plain and simple. We do not want to be that, especially coupled with presenting the precious scriptures to them. We want to have the love of Jesus flowing out of our lives. So that's the best preparation for teaching Christ's lambs is love. Love for Jesus and for them. And then, treat the children as people, just little people. Use words and examples that they understand. And an example of this would be talking to the children about storing up their treasures on heaven. And I'll kind of role model here. You know, kids, we don't want to be thinking about we want bigger houses and more expensive cars and newer furniture. And they're like, why do I never think about those kind of things? That's our world.
Yes. Yes.
But the kids are thinking about toys and video games and who else? I don't know. But they're not thinking about those things that we're thinking about. So we want to use words that they understand. We want to use examples that they understand. And don't assume that they're going to understand a word that you're using. I've heard children's ministry teachers, I've been guilty of myself using words that all of a sudden I'm realizing these children don't understand what I'm saying. So we really need to think, and oftentimes, even like with my first graders, I would say, Do you know what that word means? Do you understand what I just said? Sometimes they'll look at me blankly and I'll go, oh. And then one little girl said, I know what it means. And so she started to say it, and I thought, oh, she's explaining it better than I could. Could you tell the class? Well, because she had already, she had the kid words in her brain, and so she was really able to tell them very effectively. Oh, thank you so much. Handouts.
The order.
Oh, the order. Okay. Let me see if I can get this. No, it's fine. Then. Yeah, that's perfect. That's right, yeah. So just have everyone raise their hands who need some? All right. Well, thank you so much. So appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I'll just keep going.
Please do.
Thank you. And do not assume, and just raise your hands if you need the handouts. Do not assume that the children know about God and about what the Bible teaches. Assume that they have no biblical knowledge. I like to say, assume they know nothing. And it's not that they don't know some things, but if we go into our ministry with kids, assuming that they have biblical knowledge, that is not a good assumption to have. I have a personal experience of that. I was 10 years old, and I was not able to go to church very often. But I loved it when I was able to go with a neighbor, or sometimes I was able to go with my grandparents. And I remember going into a classroom of 10 to 12-year-olds, and we were all sitting in a circle. That was scary enough. The teacher's there, and then we're all sitting in a circle, kind of facing each other. And he's talking about the Philistines. We probably talked about David and Goliath, but I got hung up on the Philistines. I'm like, I have no idea what the Philistines are. Is it a thing? Is it a person? I did not know. I had no idea. I never heard that word before. And I didn't hear the rest of the story. I know I didn't. And that, see how scarred I am from that?
The Philistines!
I don't know. So we want to help the children understand what we're talking about. And don't be afraid to teach and repeat truths about God over and over again. Children love it when they recognize truths and they know the answer. And listen to this. I just thought this was so neat. The Lord reminded me of this verse. In Philippians 3:1, the Apostle Paul said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. I thought, oh, that's wonderful. So for us to repeat the same truths about God, that shouldn't be tedious to us, but for the kids it's safe. Because they're hearing God's words over and over. They're hearing the truth over and over. And don't just lecture. We probably all know this. While teaching the Bible story, engage the children by asking questions, listening to their answers, and then responding to what they said. Don't think ahead. This is what I have to say afterwards. But really listening to what their answer is so we can give them the correct response to what their answer is. And this may be shocking, but this is really what I believe, and I think it has proven itself out over the years. Your class does not have to be fun. How do we compete with the culture of the United States of America? The emphasis on fun, the emphasis on entertainment. I don't know how many times after my children would be signed into my Sunday school class, the parting words of the parent, smiling at me and smiling at the child, have fun. I don't think we're going to have fun, but we're going to have a great time. We're going to enjoy it. And the difference is our time should be enjoyable with our children. The children should leave our classes having enjoyed their time learning about God and having experienced the love of God through us, their teacher. And, you know, if the kids want to have fun, they can go to the park. They can play with their friends. Yeah. But children are hopeless today. Not every child, of course, but, I mean, there is a hopelessness among the this generation of children. And fun isn't going to be the answer for them. Jesus Christ is going to be the answer for them. So we want to give them the hope of Jesus when they come into our class. And we want the truths about God delivered through a vessel that loves those children. Who can resist that? It's the loving kindness of God that leads us to repentance.
Okay.
Now, some important extras. Teach the children to treat the Bible carefully, treating it special. It has God's words in it. I've had kids and I had to assume that they knew nothing as they did this. They set the Bible on the floor and they sat on it. It was just a book to them. It's just like a library book, I guess. Well, it's better to kind of, and now I do this, after I had to correct, we want to treat the Bible special. You know, and I thought, oh no, now I'm embarrassing this child in front of the whole class. Now what I do is, what is this book? It's special, isn't it? It's God's word. It has God's words in it, so we treat it special. So say that right off. And so now they have that standard to follow. And that's assuming that they don't know how to treat the Bible. So we share that with them, first off. And when teaching the younger ages, try not to stand above them, but rather on their level while still being able to be seen by them. Like my kindergarten, first and second graders, just the way we had it set up, they would all sit on the floor. Well, sitting on the floor now, I can sit on the floor, but you know, it's a little bit. I sit in a child-sized chair, and that works well. Now, if you have a bigger class, 30 or more kids, then they won't be able to see you if you're more on their level, probably, because they're going to be farther back. So whatever works for you, because it's wonderful to be on their level, especially those little ones, so they don't have to crane their neck and look way up at you as you're standing above them. But it's just honoring them in a special way of being on their level. When teaching the Bible story, I've already covered this, use simple words and examples that children understand. Pay attention to your tone of voice and your body language to help accurately communicate the Bible story. Use simple drama, if desired, to communicate the Bible story. Even walking across the room to demonstrate a Bible character walking on a road helps to engage the children in the Bible story. I distinctly remember this, my first graders, they were kind of glazing over. I think I was talking about the Good Samaritan, you know, priest walked by, the Levite walked by, the Good Samaritan walked by on the road, you know, and I could just tell they were like, and so I thought, this is not working. So I jump up from my child-sized chair, and then the Good Samaritan, and so I start walking across the room, and all of a sudden they're engaged because I've got some movement going, I've changed my tone of voice. And so it's just, I'm not very good at drama, but that little thing I could do. And it really does help at times. And before telling the Bible story, remind the children to really listen and pay attention, because you as the teacher will be asking them questions about the story. That really gets them to pay attention, just you saying that. Little reminders help the children to remember what you want them to do. So I'm going to check my time here. Okay. All right, so now we're at home preparation and practice before teaching in class. I'm sorry, I have to check the time. I've got a new updated schedule, and I hope I didn't misplace it.
11:12.
Okay. The new schedule, it was 10:55 to 11:45. So we've got 11:45. Okay. So, at home preparation and practice before teaching in class. Pray first, asking God for wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, these directions are kind of an adaptation of the method I use to hide God's word, the easy way to hide God's word in your heart, just memorizing scripture. And this is a really easy way to become familiar with the Bible story, and perhaps you're not interested in memorizing it, but you want to know it well enough so that when you get into class, you aren't doing this. Mm-hmm. And you're not making eye contact with the children, mm-hmm. but you know it well enough that you're making eye contact and they're able to look at you and you're telling the Bible story accurately and you're glancing down to make sure you're getting it accurately. But if you learn it at home and practice it at home, you're going to be able to tell it comfortably and, you know, a few times looking down. But it really is so, I think it's important to be able to tell the Bible story to the children, especially the younger ages. Jesus, yes, when he taught in the synagogues, sometimes he was opening the scriptures and reading the scriptures, but so often he was telling stories, telling parables, asking them questions, ministering to them in a very natural and comfortable way. And I think that's a great model to follow. We want to be accurate with the scriptures, so we always want to have our open Bible on our lap. We don't want to get up and just tell a story and they don't know where it came from. They need to know. I'm going to tell you a Bible story. This is in the Bible. It's God's words. And so listen real carefully because I'm going to ask you questions afterwards. So it really helps them just to pay attention. So I am going to demonstrate a little bit how to learn the Bible story this easy way. Read through the Bible story out loud, close the Bible and close your eyes, say out loud as much of the story as you can remember. So this is the story of Jesus visiting Mary and Martha. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Now, after I've read that Bible story out loud, I've heard it with my ears, I've said it out loud, so my ears have heard those words out loud. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to close my Bible, and I'm going to close my eyes, and I'm going to say as much as I can remember out loud. And I haven't memorized this scripture, so this is just a practice time that you will be able to see what it will be like when you are preparing at home. As they were going along, Jesus entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him to her home, and Martha had a sister named Mary, who listened to Jesus' words. And Martha was distracted with much serving. And so she came to Jesus and said, "Tell my sister to come and help me. Don't you care that she's left me to do this alone?" And Jesus said to Martha that she was worried, but there was only one thing needed, and Mary chose the best thing. Now, I didn't get it all right, but I got kind of the essence of it. But as you continue to practice and practice and practice, you're going to get closer and closer to what the scripture is actually saying, and then you're going to be able to tell it comfortably in front of your class or your ministry kids, and you have your Bible open, so you can glance down and make sure that you're getting it correct. So that's a very easy way to do it. I would say that portion of scripture, if you did that 10 times in your preparation time at home, then you'd have it pretty close. So you continue repeating this process until you know the Bible passage or story well enough so that you'll be able to accurately tell it to the children. And then after a few or several times of practicing this way, you'll be surprised at how much you can remember. And you can also practice your tone of voice, body language, and using simple drama if desired. Now, we're still at home. This is still our practice time. And so you've worked on learning your Bible story, and now it's your study time. So you can enhance your understanding of a Bible passage or story by reading a commentary or listening to your favorite Bible teacher. But remember, keep it simple because you're teaching young children. You don't want to give them 5 points. I mean, if I go to a conference and I've gone to several workshops, if I walk out of that conference having learned one thing that's now in my heart that I can implement when I minister to the children that God's given me to minister to, if I have learned one thing that I can use, I feel like it's been a success. So you don't want to overwhelm the children. It's not about information. It's about God touching them. So just remember, keep it simple. And it's wonderful to give the children a little bit of context. So in your study time, kind of think about the Bible's story that you're going to be teaching. And think about the context or the background so you can communicate it to the children in class. So think through what a simple context would be. So if I would look at this Bible story, I remember other parts of the Bible that talks about where Jesus had a friendship with his family, Lazarus, and his sisters, Martha and Mary, and he would often visit them in their home. And they loved him, and he loved them. That would be enough for to share that simple context so that the children wouldn't be like I was. What's a Philistine? I mean, you know, just give them a little bit. Even a child that's never been to Sunday school can understand giving that little bit of a background before you start telling the Bible story. It's really helpful. And look up definitions of words that you are unsure of. Also think of simpler words that children will understand. Glance through the story to identify words that you may need to explain to the children. And if I was going to teach this story, I would probably want to define the word village. Maybe some children know what that means, but I would probably ask them, do any of you know what a village is? That's one of the words in our Bible story. Do any of you know? And they may guess or not guess. Okay, it's a city, but I want you to tell me, do you think it's a village is a big city with lots of people and lots of buildings? Or do you think it's a small city with not very many people and not very many buildings? See, I even gave clues by how I was saying it. And that's really fun to do too, because if you give clues with your tone of voice or your actions, then the kids often know the answers, or they'll guess the right answer. And that's so neat because we want their guesses to be accurate. And then you can just reinforce that, yes, good thinking, that's the right answer. And so I would probably, you know, do that with village. And then the word distracted. I can't remember if I said this already, but I was teaching this particular Bible story to a group of children. They were age 4 through 7 or 8, a smaller group. And we came to this word distracted, and I thought, I'm just going to ask them, do any of you know what distracted means? And the 7-year-old girl said, I know. And she just explained it so good. I thought, you are right. It means you're thinking about something else. And sometimes distracted means you're not thinking about the most important thing. You're busy with something else. And that's what this Bible story is going to be about. Someone's thinking about something else, but not thinking about the most important thing. So just, you know, thinking through that in your preparation time of how you can, of what words you need to explain, assuming that these kids don't have biblical knowledge, assuming that they may not understand what you're going to share. So just help them along in this. And you may also find it helpful if you're using a Bible story or study from the Little Ones curriculum, from Calvary curriculum, to look at the teacher-parent question sheet for help and ideas. So This is the ministry that we've been involved in for several years, and this is, you've got a copy of the teacher-parent question sheet, and from, and this is actually, I have a example of the coloring picture of Mary and Martha. And then what we like to do, there's several different worksheets that go with this dot to dot and find the differences, and it's really, really fun. The kids love it. And then the coloring picture, and then often what we like to do is copy on the back of the coloring picture the teacher-parent question sheet. And this has the advantage of the children's ministry teacher being able to look over some of these questions and maybe in their own study time that they want to bring that out in the Bible story time with the children. One of the things. Jesus said one thing was needed, and Mary had chosen that good part. This is the last sentence in the first section, understanding the story. What was Mary doing? Was it a good thing? Was it good that Mary was listening to Jesus' words? Did Mary understand what was the most important and best thing? So this is really fun. If you need some help in your own personal study time, you can look at some of these questions and kind of go through that and answer it. But it's fun to also pick out some of these questions if you are teaching younger ages. This is from the little ones curriculum. Like I said, there's also an elementary Bible curriculum. But the little ones curriculum is more 4 through 6 year olds, even though, but it can go older too. I've used it up to 8 years old. But it's really neat because some of these questions a child can so easily answer. So you can pick out even a couple of questions that you might want to use in class. But it's great for study time too. So that's that example. And then this is a really neat one. Ask the Lord to show you a simple truth in the Bible story with its simple life application to share with the children during the class time. I heard this from a favorite Bible teacher, favorite Bible pastor that we listen to online. And look, and how he had shared it was, when you are in your own time with the Lord, ask the Lord for a simple truth and a simple life application for your own life. And I started thinking, that's wonderful for teaching children. Because we don't, like, you know, we just don't want to give them information, just tell them Bible stories. We want them to see that there's something in this story, in this, in God's Word, that's applicable to their lives as children. So ask the Lord to show you a simple truth in the Bible story with a simple life application. So this is still in the preparation time. And then to share it with the children during the class time. And then in your own preparation time, just respond to that truth by praying in that time that you're studying the Bible story at your home. And then when you get into class, do the same thing as a model to the children. So just to demonstrate this, I'm pretending I'm at my home, I'm studying, and I come to this line, to this verse. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. And then I'm remembering that Martha was distracted with much serving. But Mary chose the most important thing. And so during my time at home, I would do this. Lord, there really are a lot of things that distract me from spending time with you. And I want to be more like Mary. I want to listen to your words more. I want to spend more time with you. And I want to not be so distracted with the things of this world, but I want to be more in love with you, Jesus. Would you please help me to do that? In Jesus' name I pray. So that what I would do at home, and I meant that from my heart. And so as we're at home, we can respond to the Lord in prayer about a truth that God has shown us. And then in class, we do that same thing. And that gives the children a model of what to pray for. Oftentimes, you know, when I will say to the children, and we kind of have to direct them. We say, okay, now let's pray. And you know, who knows what they pray for. I mean, they pray for their you know, their dog died 6 months ago. I mean, you know, they're little children. So we need to train them. We need to teach them how to pray. Okay, so after you go through all this preparation and study time at home, now you are prepared to teach the Bible story in your class. So these are just some ideas of things that you can incorporate into your Bible story time in class, depending on the amount of time you have. Now, I'm not talking about your entire hour or hour and 15 minutes or hour and a half that you have with the children. There's, you know, your welcoming time, maybe your coloring time, or however. I'm only focusing on the Bible story time, the teaching of God's word, and then that prayer time afterwards. But some of these things are things that I've learned over the year, over the years that I've been involved in children's ministry. And again, in your class time, and we've already gone over this in your preparation time, so it's real easy, so you're not blindsided that the kids are going, I don't understand, where did this happen? What? And you're giving them the background, the context. I'm going to tell you a Bible story, but first I want to tell you a little bit of what has happened before the story. So it just gives them some place to think in their minds about what's going to be happening in the Bible story. So you give that simple context or background, define those words that you think they may not understand, or if it's a really big, maybe it's a word like fearful, then substitute afraid. You know, they can understand that a little bit easier. And then you tell or teach the Bible story meaningful and enthusiastically, because these are God's words. You make eye contact with the children, looking at the Bible passage in the open Bible on your lap, because you want the children to know that the story is in the Bible. This is the first time that the children hear the Bible story in class. Now, depending on how much time you have, there are going to be other times that the children are going to be able to hear the Bible story in class. So, these next three methods, review, narration, and questions, are all time permitting, if you have enough time for these. This is the engaging part of this workshop. It's going to engage the children. You're going to ask them questions, and they're going to respond. Depending on how much time you have for your Bible story time, you can do all three of these or choose one or two. You might be surprised to know, and when we get down to this section, you might really be surprised to know that narration turned out to be one of the children's favorite things to do. That's after I tell the Bible story to them, they get to tell it back to me. And at first, it's really scary for kids, and it's uncomfortable for the teacher and for the children because you're not used to that kind of format. But pretty soon, the kids start loving it. So we're going to start with review, if time permits. And that's just, it's as easy as can be. You're reviewing the Bible story verse by verse, saying one verse at a time, and leaving a blank or a pause for the child to say the missing word. Give hints as needed, because you want their guesses to be accurate. Respond enthusiastically to their answers. Try not to overly correct them. We want to encourage them to keep trying. So this will be the second time the children hear the Bible story in class. So it's this easy. Now, it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, right? Good remembering, you guys. And a certain woman named Martha. Very good. That's as easy as it, yeah. I mean, and if it's a really long story and you don't have time, you know, to go through 20 verses, you can just pick out sections, pick out events or whatever. And the kids love it because oftentimes they know the answers. It's a safe way for them to share, a safe way for them to respond and answer. Now, narration. Ask children to narrate or tell back the Bible story. Oh, did I say this? If you go through the review, that's the second time that the children will hear the Bible story in class. Okay, now narration. Ask the children to narrate or tell back the Bible story. If the children are hesitant, ask them to say just one thing they remember. Often they will repeat, what another child had just said. But that's okay. Or don't get the details and the order mixed up. That's okay, because it's practicing. And they're getting comfortable with this interactive method. And the children will delight in telling back the Bible story in great detail, accurately. It just takes practice. There have been 5-year-old children, they were in my class, so I can attest to the truth of this, that have been able to tell a 21st Bible story accurately in the right chronological order with all the details. Mm-hmm. And not only was it wasn't that day's Bible story, it was, I think, the week before or 2 weeks before, because this little guy, I think, had been sick and had missed Sunday school. He told a 2-week-old story. I mean, you know, 2 weeks ago. And he told it absolutely accurately with all of the details. And then he had a twin brother. And his brother said, "Now, I want to try it." And he did it too. Completely accurately. And they had heard it a couple weeks prior to that. But we had been practicing narration. Because when you practice, when you tell the kids that they get to tell the story back, guess what? They really pay attention as you're telling the Bible story, because they like to do it. And it takes some practice. Like I said, at first you start feeling uncomfortable. You're not used to that. And then what if they tell it wrong? And oh, that's okay. Just keep encouraging them, because you want them to keep trying. And so don't give up. It's a wonderful interactive method, and this may become one of the favorite things that your children love to do. I know for my kids in class, it's been one of their favorites. And if it's a pretty accurate retelling, that will be the third time they hear the Bible story in class. So when those kids walk out of class and mommy or daddy says, "What did you learn?" they won't say, "I don't know." They'll go, "Oh!" And they'll just be able to tell it. And I've heard kids do that. It's just so amazing. It's like, I can't believe it. It's awesome. And then questions, if time permits. Ask the children simple who, what, when, where, why questions about the Bible story. And again, you may find it helpful if you're using the little ones curriculum to pick a couple of questions from that curriculum and ask them those questions. And then the simple truth, simple application. Remember that during your study and preparation time, you ask the Lord to show you a simple truth in the Bible story with its simple life application to share with the children during class time. Now is the time to share that simple truth with the children and how it applies to their lives. Then, teacher, you respond first to the Lord in prayer. This encourages the children to also pray and gives them an example to follow. And this also happened in my first grade class. We had for several weeks been learning the story of Joseph, and Joseph going from a much loved son to the unfair treatment from his brothers, being sold as a slave into Egypt and being jailed unfairly, and just all of the things that Joseph went through. And the simple truth of that story was that life can be hard and unfair. But Joseph kept on trusting God and loving him, even when things were unfair and hard for him. The simple life application was that people, even children, can have hard and unfair things happen to them. But we can still trust God and love him just like Joseph did. And these 6-year-old children got this truth. They totally understood it. And bringing out the point that, you know, Joseph was like a teenager when he went to Egypt. But he kept loving God and he kept trusting God. And then as the story unfolds, him forgiving his brothers and just that reconciliation. And did Joseph grow up angry? Did he have bitterness in his heart towards his brothers who sold him there? No, because he kept loving and trusting God. And then you bring it to their level. Kids have hard and unfair things happen to them, don't they? These kids are like, and they have sad things happen. But do you have to get angry and sad, or can you keep trusting God and loving him? And then the hands start going up. My brothers are mean to me. We stop right then and pray for them. Just like Joseph, I have to live away from my daddy, just like Joseph did. And, you know, their hearts were open. The simple truth, the simple life application that children can understand. And I'll tell you, that time of prayer was so precious. These six-year-olds pray to keep on trusting and loving God, even when hard and unfair things happen. We all experience it. Kids are no different, and they're growing up in challenging times. Even in our wonderful country, there are challenging things that happen here. And they can understand that. So that's wonderful, that simple truth, simple application. So continue to give the children the opportunity to pray in response to the simple truth and simple application that the teacher shared. And then encourage the children to pray to the Lord for other things. And if the children are hesitant or shy, then you as the teacher ask them what they want to pray prayer for, and you pray for them. I mean, I've asked my children, does anyone want to pray? And a few brave ones would. And then they're just looking at me. And then I'll say, is there anything you'd like me to pray for you? And all the hands go up. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just getting comfortable. Yeah. This is new for so many of them. And don't overlook this opportunity to model praying to the Lord for your children, in front of your children, because your class may be the place where they learn to pray. Even if they're from Christian homes, that sadly may not be part of their lives at home. So we can teach them to pray. We can train them to pray. We can give them opportunities and training them. We go to the Lord for the things that we need in our lives. We go to the Lord for thanking him for the things that are in our lives. We go to the Lord when we need help, and we can do that for the children. And I'd like to also share a little bit about, we want to give children the opportunity to give their lives to the Lord, but we really need to make sure that they understand what they're doing. C.H. Spurgeon, the British preacher, who I quoted first, he also said, make sure the child understands his ruin. I mean, he wrote, you know, a long time ago.
Yeah.
That he understands his ruin. These children need to be cleansed. I'm not getting it exactly right, but cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ as much as any of us. So they need to understand that they are sinners. I'm sure you've met children. I've met them. When we talk about being sinners, they say, oh, I've never sinned. They're not sinners. It's a good time to review the Ten Commandments with them, that God standard. I remember a 10-year-old girl at camp once. She adamantly, in front of everyone at the camp, the other 300 kids, said she had never sinned, and she believed that. And so we want to tell these children the truth. We don't want to make Christianity, we don't want to make up our own form of Christianity. We want to tell the biblical truth to these children so that when they give their lives to the Lord, that they know what they're doing. And that being said, I remember having a little boy in my class, first time he had ever visited my second grade class, and I explained about giving their lives to the Lord. As far as I know, he was unchurched. He wasn't a Christian, had not been in church. And I explained about giving their lives to the Lord. He wanted to pray and give his life to the Lord. So I give the children the opportunity. I try to really be sensitive to the Lord, because sometimes, this is just me, sometimes the Lord holds me back not to give that opportunity. And I don't know why that happens. But most often, I give them the opportunity. If I have shared that information all over again, assuming that they have no biblical knowledge, so I want to give them that knowledge first. But I gave them the opportunity to give their lives to the Lord. And this little guy prayed, gave his life to the Lord. This was the first time he was ever in my class. He came every week after that with his family. every week. So I was so unsure. I'm like, did he really? I don't know. And he just kept growing and growing and growing. About a year later, he was baptized, kept growing and growing. So, you know, we never know. We never know what's going to happen, but we do want to accurately communicate the truth. So, in closing, every child you encounter is a divine appointment. Make every minute count. You only have a short amount of time in class, so do the most important things. Give the children what they may not be getting anywhere else. Give them Jesus. So let me close in prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you for you, Lord. We are grateful to you for the work that you have done in our lives, the work you're continuing to do in our lives. And we are grateful to you, Lord, for calling us into this ministry with children. Continue to use us, Lord. Continue to help us to love the children for your sake, Lord. Help us to give them Jesus. We thank you. I pray your blessing upon these dear ones here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.